I grow weary of waiting for the theme song to come. I just remembered that I don't need to use iTunes to play my theme song. It's a sign that it's been too long since I've done this that I forgot about Podcast Soundboard, which I bought many years ago and have many sounds for. And probably, you know, some of the best, like, $10 I ever spent, except for the fact that, like, I barely use it. I only use it to play, like, the intro to this show. And it's like, I just turned off iTunes because I was like, ugh, this is going to take forever. And then it finally came up. Now I'm waiting for Podcast Soundboard to happen. I made a poor choice. I should have just stuck with iTunes. But you know what? iTunes does things now. You know what? I'm not even going to get into it because I'm going to sound like an old man. You're not going to say it. Somebody should. Let's talk about tools. Everybody, welcome to this, the Helpful Snowman Radio podcast, I guess. I was really smart and I put radio in there because, you know, back when I started this, I was like, podcasts sounds dumb. And I was like, yeah, maybe it won't be a podcast forever, right? Because that's like a branded thing. It's like an Apple thing, iPod podcast. But then, I don't know, I guess we just all accepted it. It became the new Kleenex or Band-Aid or whatever. So now I'm stuck with this Helpful Snowman Radio thing. Stuck with the name, stuck with doing it, you know, because otherwise I would have to just sit with myself and think about what I'm doing with my life. Today's topic has a little bit to do with travel. I haven't really traveled since 2019. Through pandemic, I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. And even if I can be so bold as to say 2024 is post-pandemic, it seems most people are living that way, and I'm living somewhat that way. If I may be so bold, I still think traveling... It's something I used to do fairly often. You know, that was probably like, I don't know if I'd say it was a hobby of mine. In the course of prepping for this show a little bit, I was looking up some things online. And I found somebody who was like, I love traveling, but I don't know where to go. What are some ways that you guys decide where to go? And I was like, motherfucker, this is like somebody who's like, my hobby is traveling. And I'm like, is it though? Like, maybe your hobby should be something. Maybe you should. It's a dumb question to ask. Like, I can't decide where to go because it's not like I'm choosing between two places. It's like I want to do traveling, but I don't know where. And I was like, isn't the destination? I know the saying is it's not the destination, it's the journey. But I think when you are talking about traveling to, let's say I was going to Scotland, I think that term is not so literal. Do you know what I mean? I don't think anybody's like, it's not really about being in Scotland. It's about the plane ride to get there. It was just really annoying because I was like, if your hobby is traveling, but you don't know where to go, maybe your hobby's not really traveling. Like... If your hobby is just traveling, I'd be like, I don't know, go to Indiana or something. Just wherever. Wherever you are, take something that's like a 5-hour flight from there and be there for a while. I don't know. It's like somebody who says their hobby is driving. And it's like, well, I assume that for them, it's not like, well, I enjoy the drive to work. Do you know what I mean? I assume there's like a different element to it. Anyway, I haven't traveled. and haven't really wanted to. And I have to say, I think 4 years of not getting on an airplane has made the prospect of getting on one seem even more unpleasant than normal. Now, before 2020, I was someone who would travel, but every time I went to the airport, I would be like on the way to the airport or the night before, thinking like, why am I doing this? Like, why don't I just stay home? You know, I was like, I like my home life. I like my routines. You know, I like the things I do. And for some reason, I'm going on a trip. And I would have this feeling up until I was like maybe halfway through the flight. And then I'd be like, well, I mean, it's kind of inevitable. But even some of the times I've taken a trip in my life, you know, the first couple days of the trip, I don't really enjoy. And I'm kind of like, well, I guess I only have 5 more nights until I'm back home. You know what I mean? And I comfort myself that way by being like, at some point I'll be back home. But anyway, I think Poonmaster Flex and I are going to take a trip, like a big trip. And so in looking at it, though, one of the big obstacles, because, you know, like the money's a thing, but on the other hand, I've been saving money for the last 4 years, haven't done shit for the last 4 years. So, you know, I've managed to save some more money. It turns out that when you do no socializing, you rarely eat out, and you don't go anywhere, you do save a fair amount of money. But anyway, so we're looking at taking a big trip. And the thing is, it's like a 12-hour flight, like 12 hours in the air. And I'm just like, kill me. You know what I mean? It's like they say, get compression socks so you don't get blood clots. And I was like, maybe I just won't. Because if I have the compression socks, I'll know for sure I'm not going to die. And it's like maybe, you know, hour 7 when I'm like, now I have 5 fucking hours left. Maybe at hour 7, I'll be kind of like, you know, I would actually prefer just having the possibility that I might just die. You know what I mean? Like, let's not take it off the table. Maybe it's a good thing to just have in reserve. So I looked up, like, stuff because I was like, well, what are some, like, ways to maybe do this and make it not horrible? Do you know what I mean? And I don't know, like, everyone I've told this to is like, well, what did you think you were going to find? And I'm like, I don't know. But haven't you ever had a question for, like, Google and you're like, I don't think there's an answer out there that I don't know about. Like, I don't think there's an answer to how to make a 12-hour flight not horrible. Like, I don't really think I'm going to find some magical thing and someone's going to say, okay, here's what you do, and then it'll all work. I don't think that. However, that's what magical thinking is, right? I'm like, but what if I went to like page 5 of the Google results? You know what I mean? Has anyone ever gone to page 12? Maybe there's some fucking weirdo who has a blog. But if you get to page 12, it's like, actually, this guy's got some good ideas. So I went and I found the closest thing I found, at least in title, was someone who was like, I took a 12-hour flight and here's, you know, how I did it and what I did. And I was like, oh, okay. And this lady basically went on to detail a completely hellish journey that sounded awful. And like, she was sitting next to a couple that was like very physically affectionate with each other. And like, lots of things like that, right? And also, I was reading this article and it seemed long and horrible. And I was like getting antsy just sitting reading it. And then she was like, and then I was at the 7-hour mark and I was like, you're just over halfway after all of this? That's fucking nuts. You know, so like, but, you know, I didn't take anything away from that, you know, that was like useful, to be honest, because it was just basically like, I don't know, it's horrible. You just fucking surrender your life for 12 hours. You know what I mean? It's 12 hours of very light torture. Calling it torture is disrespectful to people who've been tortured, but I don't really care. And, you know, it's kind of like, if someone had you just be at home and not move from a chair for 12 hours, it would be kind of horrible, right? And then it's like you're next to a bunch of other people you don't even know. That's kind of horrible. Airplanes have a terrible smell. I do get some motion sickness. There's many, many things about this. I can't sleep on the plane. That's the biggest one. Like, my body's just like, no, I don't think we're going to be asleep. We want to be wide awake. It's like my dumb brain is like, what if something happens? Wouldn't you want to be wide awake? And I'm like, actually, no, because I'm not going to be able to do shit. And I don't actually want to be like fully cognizant of something bad happening, right? I'd rather be half asleep as I plunge to my doom. So, you know, but my body is like, oh, no, no, no. We're going to stay awake. We're going to be really productive. Not productive. We're going to be very aware of our surroundings and everything that's going on. So I'm like, great. This sounds like a blast. But the other thing is, I'm very aware that complaining about taking a long flight is stupid because it's like, well, you're going on a vacation, poor you. And I'm like, you're right. There was this lady I worked with one time who I really liked. She's very nice, very fun lady. And she took a vacation in like the middle of winter to Florida or something. And when she came back, I was like, how was it? And she was like, it was okay. And I was like, what do you mean? And she's like, well, it was great, but my calves are so sore because I did so much walking on the beach. And I was like, fuck you. Nobody feels bad for you that your calves are sore. Even if you're hobbling around, which she kind of was, I was like, fuck off. You had too much time walking on the beach. Oh no, poor you, right? And that's kind of what a 12-hour flight is like, I think. People are like, oh, poor you. You know what I mean? So I had like different ideas. I was like, well, maybe I should find like a show. Because, you know, I was like, well, there's many seasons of The Simpsons that I've never seen. But then I kind of nixed that idea because I was like, each episode is like 20 minutes. And so as one ends and another begins, I'll kind of be like aware of the time passing very slowly. And, you know, I was like, maybe I should make like a movie list of movies that I've kind of always wanted to see, or like stuff I missed the last whatever. Or I was like, I mean, you haven't seen the last fucking Star Wars. You missed a bunch of Marvel stuff after, you know, Endgame. Like, maybe you could find a good list. I was like, you could do like a classic movie thing, because maybe I'm pretty sure that's not how Orson Welles intended me to watch Citizen Kane. But, you know, he couldn't have possibly predicted this future. So who's to say that he would be opposed to it? You know what I mean? But, you know, I don't know. Something like that. Or I was like, maybe you could take a big book. Books are a risk, though. Because here's the, ideally, what you would do is get on the plane with a good thick book and you go through it on the plane and it's great. And it's like very absorbing, and you kind of get into it and read it like a good chunk of the flight. That's what I did on the way back. I flew back from New York one time and I read a book called The Art of Fielding by Chad Harbach, and it was great. And I was like, this is awesome because I can just read this the whole time. But here's where the risk comes in. You kind of want to start a fresh book, right? You don't want something that you're halfway through. But if you start a fresh book, how do you know you're going to like it? It's almost like you have to get a bunch of books and read the first 10%. Until you find the one that you're like, this is the one for the flight. Because on another flight, I was reading Dune and was like, no, not for me. I don't think so. So it is a risk. You know what I mean? Or it's like, it's something you have to plan for a little bit more thoughtfully than I like to plan for things. I thought about playing a video game. I've thought about doing many things. But, you know, all of it seems kind of horrible. I did also think, like, okay, it's 12 hours. What if you made a schedule for yourself on the plane? And so then you're like, hour by hour, you do 12 different things or something. Maybe that, or, you know, six. You like do this for two, do that for two. And before you know it, you'll be there. And I was like, maybe. I also thought, like, well, there's this, you know, this novel you've been working on for like a fucking decade that you're never going to finish. Maybe you should just bring that and just work on that. Because you're like, well, I'm trapped for 12 hours. And if I put 24 hours into the fucking thing, I would think I'd probably get a good chunk done, if not like an entire draft, right? Anyway, if anyone has any tips, let me know. However, what I don't want is what is called travel hacks, which brings us to the meat or the potato or the tempeh. Is that a thing? Is that what that's called? The soy bar. What is that shit called? Tofu. You know those soy bars you buy at the store? That like block of stuff? Brings us to travel hacks. Because while I was looking around at this stuff, I discovered the world of mostly TikTok-based travel hacks. And it's been enlightening in a way. And it is going to have me end this episode with my own version of a travel hack that I want to share with all of you. So this first article is from thestreet.com, and it's talking about a dangerous travel hack, you know, and it was talking about introing it by saying like, oh yeah, some travel hacks are about finding the best deals. Some reveal the secret buttons that are on an armrest, you know, and I'm like, the fucking buttons are right there. I don't know what you're talking about. And some encourage outright bribery by giving flight attendants a gift card, which I actually don't see as a problem. I'm not sure why that would be a problem to give a flight attendant a gift card, because it's like, well, I guess if they want to do something for you as a result, they can. And if they're like, fuck you. You know what I mean? They don't have to do anything. So I don't know. I guess to me, I'm like, hey, man, if they're accepting gifts or whatever, I wouldn't do it because I just feel like, it feels a little antiquated or something. Not antiquated. The sort of the tipping idea of like, here's a nice tip in it for you, you know, make sure you. I don't know, because I don't really know what I would need on a flight. You know what I mean? It's not like keep the drinks coming, because I'm like, well, I don't want to be like wasted on an airplane. That seems miserable. You know what the problem is with being wasted on an airplane? The problem with being wasted in life is eventually you have to stop being wasted. And that's the problem, because when you stop being wasted, then you're worse off than you were before you were wasted. And as you get older, the post being wasted part lasts longer and longer and really, really brings down the value of the wasted part. If you get drunk, I got the one time I remember being pretty drunk on a plane. I was flying back from, I think it was Chicago, and I had like a margarita or maybe two waiting for the flight. And then our flight got delayed by like a couple hours. So then I got mildly hammered. You know, I was getting picked up at the airport on the other end. I was like, yeah, whatever. Remember, I was trying to read a book on that flight. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, you can't read. I couldn't read. But my big regrets about it were, I had to pee desperately. You know what I mean? And it's like when you start getting on the plane until you're at cruising altitude and that seatbelt sign comes off, it could be like an hour longer. And I was so desperate. Like I almost got up before I was supposed to, because I was just like, it's this or pee my pants. Like, that's it. That's all there is. And I have to. I'm sorry. But I made it barely. But the other thing that sucked was like sobering up in the air. You know what I mean? From being fairly hammered to being stone sober and going through that process on an airplane is like the worst. You know what I mean? It would probably be worse to be, I don't know, on like a bulldozer with no roof in the desert trying to like push sand around. That would probably be worse. But this was pretty bad. Of things that I am apt to experience, that was pretty bad. So anyway, I don't know that I need a whole lot from a flight attendant. I mean, mostly when I was flying like every weekend for a while with that whole writer's workshop action, I just wanted to be left alone. I'd get on the plane, turn towards the wall, put my hood up, put on headphones, put in earbuds, and then put like shooting protection earphones over the top of my earbuds. This was my, you know, working class fella's Bose noise canceling headphones. And then I would just like be like that for the entire flight. Anyway, so there's a travel hack for you. They also said there's a video of a prankster cooking shrimp and grits in a plane bathroom, which received over 1 million TikTok views and set off an entire wave of people trying it for themselves, despite the obvious safety concerns around plugging portable batteries into the lavatory's outlets. Also, I guess, ignoring, like, you know, this one guy got like over 1 million views, which is a lot, but not like an insane amount. And, you know, if he got 1 million for doing it, how much are you going to get for doing exactly what he did another time? You know what I mean? Don't you have to do something else? Is this how TikTok works? But last month, a TikTok video in which an influencer named Lexi Rivera buckles a plain seatbelt around her ankles instead of her waist gathered more than 20 million views and set off another surge of people who have been trying it for themselves. So here's what she did. She kind of like, she's in the seat and she pulls her legs up on the seat. So the bottoms of her feet are like on the seat. And then put the seatbelt around her ankles instead of around her waist. So basically then the article just kind of goes on to be like, listen, the seatbelt is designed to hold you in your seat in the event of like sudden turbulence or whatever. And it's not going to work because your feet easily bend so that your toes are pointed towards the floor. So really holding on to this with your feet is what you're doing. And that's not going to work. You might as well just not wear it. Right. I think that's the takeaway here is like, well, you know, if you're going to fuck around and not wear it, just don't wear it instead of doing that. Now, I guess this person, this whoever, Lexi, somebody, I think their idea was that, like, it's more comfortable this way than around your waist or something, which I guess, but, like, couldn't you just sit like that for a while without buckling the seatbelt around? I didn't get it. And also, I was like, this is a travel hack. It's just, like, I mean, it's a different way to sit in a chair, I guess, but it's not one that I'm unaware of. You know what I mean? I've seen chairs. I've seen how people sit in them. It seems fine. But this is like one of the funny things to me is people talk about like, I don't know, hacks. I saw one time and somebody was like, had a garlic bulb, you know, from the store and they took part of it and planted it and then grew more garlic. And they were like, here's a garlic hack that'll have infinite garlic. And I think the top commenter was like, this person thinks that they have just invented agriculture. And I was like, it's so true. It's not, I don't think it's really a hack if you're doing something that other people do all the time. You know what I mean? And that's not like a wildly, I don't know, novel idea. Let's see, we've got one from Islands, which I don't even know what the fuck that is. That's probably like an in-flight magazine or something. That theory is bolstered by the fact that I'm looking at a ad across the top, a banner ad, a video ad playing in the sidebar, which seems to exist solely for video placement, and another bar ad towards the bottom. All of it moving and doing things. I'm like, okay, so this is what billboards became, right? Like a web page for some bullshit. Okay, so this person is a TikTok influencer who said a bunch of nifty accessories really make it much more comfortable to fly in an economy class seat. So let's take a look at what she's got. If I can't, I don't even know if I can. Fucking, I'm clicking stuff, but nothing's happening because, you know, why would it? Okay. Okay. No, that didn't work. Somebody is painting around an outlet on view this, view that. This is great. This is grandpa's, you know, trying to make TikTok work. Okay, so basically, though, she's got some what she's calling accessories, which, for example, is a foot hammock. Now, I don't know if anyone else is familiar with a foot hammock. I am, because I've seen this particular thing before in the travels that I've been taking lately. A foot hammock is a thing that basically dangles from the bottom of the seat in front of you, and you can put your feet up in it. Oh, here we go. I got it. Everyone, I did it. Grandpa did it. Let's see. We're just watching this person be on a plane. Non-negotiables, she says. She's getting out something. Oh, it's a foot hammock. Oh, you put it in the tray table, and then it puts your feet, so your feet are suspended like 2 inches above the ground. This only makes sense to me if you're, like, really short, I guess. But even then, I don't know. I don't know if I'm buying it. Oh, now she's got a cover that went over the tray table that creates a pocket, even though there's already a pocket there. This is making a different pocket. A pocket of a different color. Okay, this is a thing that plugs into the fucking, it's a plug-in thing. Who gives a shit? Now she's got a gizmo. I believe this is like a tripod for a phone or something. She's got so much shit. Okay, this is like, fuck. Do you remember there was an episode of Aqua Teen? This is a very specific reference. There's an episode of Aqua Teen Hunger Force where it was like, I don't know, one of the characters, Carl or something, was rebuilt and was all souped up and stuff. So she's got a foot hammock. She's got an extra pockets on the tray back table. And she's got also clipped to the tray back table a like phone tripod. So her phone is just sitting there. And it's like, how many fucking things, you know, do you have? But also, I'm like, there's already a pocket there, so that doesn't really do much. The foot hammock is 2 inches above the floor, which was already there. That doesn't seem super useful. I don't know, man. These are her non-negotiables. It's like, when someone says non-negotiable, I'm like, this is, you know, I will die on this hill, right? If I say to somebody, this is a non-negotiable, I don't know even what I'm talking about. It's a non-negotiable that this podcast will remain shitty. It's just non-negotiable. There's no room for me to compromise on that. All right, here's one from Yahoo News, which I guess still exists. A TikToker sparked debate with a poor man's first class flight hack to buy an entire row of seats and then get a refund before the trip. Okay, so there you go. That explained the entire thing for you. But basically what this guy does is he buys 3 seats and makes sure they're fully refundable. And then he, I guess whatever airline he's on lets you turn the tickets. What am I thinking of? Return the tickets. Jesus Christ. Return the tickets 45 minutes before the flight. Because it's like as long as you do it before the boarding or something, then you're fine. So he's like, so I buy 3 tickets, I return 2 45 minutes before the flight boards, and then I get on and have an entire row to myself, and he calls it poor man's first class. Which I'm like, well, I mean, you do have to have the initial money, I guess. I do feel like you probably have to do this and then be willing to lose the money, you know what I mean, every so often. Like, I feel like eventually they'll catch on to what you're doing and be like, no. But the other problem is people flying standby would assume just get those tickets, right? Somebody also from the airlines was like, they'll ban you from buying tickets if you keep refunding most of them. I think what's dumb about this to me is, like, I get it. And I don't have a problem with someone doing this, because I'm like, I mean, the only person getting screwed here is the airline, right? As the only person who really loses anything. And so I'm like, whatever. But to me, it's like, listen, I'm thinking about a 12-hour flight, and I'm like, okay, yes, having my own row for 12 hours would be amazing. But like on a 3-hour flight to Chicago, I'm like, I don't know, man, I think I could tough it out. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think I'll be fine for long enough to watch Avengers Endgame. Yeah, I don't know. I was basically on an airplane watching it before, right? It was in a movie theater, but it's like, you're packed in with a bunch of people. People are farting. It's terrible. And this is kind of the same deal. It's just more lit up, I guess. It's just, to me, like, that kind of hack, I'm like, that's the kind of hack where I feel like, well, you're working so hard for it. Do you really get anything out of that? You know what I mean? I'm like, I don't know. Maybe I would rather just like write a dumb novel and then market it and hope to make enough money that I'm like, I could just buy a first class ticket, I guess. You know what I mean? I don't know. Get a shitty weekend job. Somebody who delivered pizza to our house last week was like, we have a Taylor Swift doormat. I'll let you guess if that's mine or Poon Master Flex's, but you know, I'm fine with it. And she was like, I love that doormat. I just saw her in, you know, Denmark or something, Amsterdam. It was really important that I got it right, that you know that this pizza delivery person, I was sure I'm going to get a correction on that. If I had said Denmark, you would have been like, dear Mr. Snowman. So, and I was like, I wonder if that person has like another job and is like, well, delivering pizza on the weekends because, you know, I got to get Taylor Swift money. Okay. This is probably the worst one. And it's one of the things that kind of set me off down this path. And to be honest with you, I was sort of chasing a dragon here. Because I was looking for like terrible travel hacks and stupid travel hacks, but they're mostly like price hacks. People are like, oh yeah, you know, I can get a discount doing this. Or people are like, oh, points on a credit card or something. And like, as soon as people say points on a card or something, I like glaze over. But so this guy is in an airport and he's like in a little, whatever they call the airport, bodega. I'm sure they don't call it a bodega, but it's got a real bodega vibe, to be honest, in a lot of ways. A bunch of shit in coolers that looks a lot better than it probably is. All it's missing is like a cat and like maybe the, you know, plexiglass don't shoot me thing. Okay, so one thing I hate about airports is that you can almost always only get water in plastic in the airport, which is why, okay. And this is a guy who's talking about, there was another travel hack I saw that was like, freeze your shit, right? You can freeze stuff and that's how you get around the liquid ban on a flight. So if you freeze a bottle of water, you can take it through as long as it's still solid. And like the person I saw doing this had a Fiji water. So it's in a plastic bottle and it's just frozen. And it's like, well, you could buy the exact same one on the other side of security. Now I know at the airport bodega, it's more expensive. I know that. I think the thing about flying, in my opinion, is that you do have to accept to some extent that you probably at some points will have to buy food or drink that's too expensive. But it's like, listen, if you're taking a 5-hour flight home from the East Coast, and it's like, you got to get there a couple hours before your plane leaves. You know what I mean? Like, you're probably going to need to drink something at some point. And, like, just maybe just accept it, budget it in for your trip. The other thing that's funny about it is people are like, well, you can do this in a thing so you don't get microplastics. Microplastics, I could be totally wrong about this. That seems like the health scam du jour is everyone being like, don't drink out of a plastic bottle because you'll get microplastics in you. And I'm like, maybe I will. But I don't know, man. I kind of think I'm going to be okay. This is one of those things where I'm like, maybe I'll regret saying this someday. Here's the thing. I don't really drink a ton of out of a plastic bottle. Do you know what I mean? Because that's wasteful. It's wasteful to have disposable water bottles. I've never understood that. Like, you see someone's house or you go to someone's house and they just have like that mini pallet of water bottles in there. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? You know what I mean? And they're like, oh, yeah, well, it doesn't have, I don't know. The only people I can accept that from are fluoride maniacs who are like, oh, they're trying to mind control me. And I'm like, okay, whatever. They're not, but I'm not going to argue with it. Like, that's fine. At least you're drinking something besides Monster Energy. Okay, so this guy's saying instead of having to drink out of a plastic bottle, you can actually bring a coconut on the plane. So here I've got essentially spring water. He's holding a coconut. Manganese, magnesium, in a conveniently packaged coconut with no PFAs, no other bullshit from the plastic that's leaching into the water. But this kind of stuff, even though it's cold in the airport, you just don't know how long this has been in this plastic bottle. If it's warm, if it's been in the sun, how much of the things in this plastic that are harmful or disrupting your hormones are leaching into the water. If I can avoid it, I'm never going to drink water in plastic, especially not in an airport, but I'm going to bring some coconuts on the plane. He's got a whole fucking backpack full of coconuts that he's going to somehow drink on the plane. Let's just discuss this for a moment. I don't know that I've ever purchased a coconut from the grocery store, but I'm not entirely sure how one would open a coconut on an airplane. Do you know what I mean? Maybe it's easy. Maybe I'm mistaken. Maybe it's like they're not as hard as I think they are, and they make like a dunk sound when you hit someone on the head with it. But this seems like a terrible idea. This guy also was showing in his bag of coconuts, he had a Tupperware full of beef heart burgers. So I guess this is like patties that he made out of ground up beef hearts. I'd made some effort to try and discover, like, is this guy for real or is this guy fucking around? And I think he's serious. Like, I think he really is being serious about this whole thing, which is crazy. You know what I mean? Because if he was fucking around and he's like, I'm having a laugh at everybody. And like the idea of hacks, and it's like, look, nature has made the perfect water bottle for you, the coconut. You know what I mean? And everyone's like, okay. But I think he's serious. And I think he seriously was just like, here's my like 4 or 5 burgers made out of beef hearts, which I was like, I just like 4 or 5 hamburger patties, just plain hamburger patties is weird. And I'm like, you had to like take it to the next level. Do you know what I mean? And I'm like, is eating a beef heart really that different from eating whatever other part of a cow? How different is it? You know, again, I could be wrong. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a nutritionist. I'm not smart. I don't run a successful podcast. But I'm like, is it really that different? My guy. All right, here's the last list. It was 5 idiotic vile travel hacks. Number 1 is wear red to get better treatment. People are like, if you wear red, you know, people will treat you better, which is obviously stupid, right? I mean, that just seems like a terrible idea. I don't know that I own much red. I do have a Christmas sweater I guess I could wear a Christmas sweater. Do you think wearing a Christmas sweater, like if you flew in July, would be appreciated or curious or concerning? I don't feel like it would just pass by and then no one would care, but I feel like it would be remarked upon at some point, you know, and the only real reaction you could give would just to be sort of like, what? You know what I mean? Oh, wait, what month is it? And when's Christmas? Here's freezing water. Dumb as fuck. And it's like people freezing the water. This is tip number two. They're like, we got it past TSA. This is amazing. And I'm like, you saved like $4. Do you know what I mean? Like, who cares? It's not like the most genius thing. It's like this. It's like it's become a game for some people. You know, I'm getting into my travel hacks, so let's wait a second. Questionable air travel hack number three. Stuff everything into a pillowcase to avoid bag fees. So, like, apparently, okay, when I was looking at plane tickets, just domestic short flight plane tickets, it was so confusing because I went onto Frontier Airlines website because I hate myself. It's obvious I hate myself if you listen to this show, so I guess that explains it. But, and it said, like, you can fly there for $40. And I was like, well, we all know it's not $40. I was like, what are you doing, Frontier? And they're like, we believe in transparency, you know, and that's transparent pricing and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, all right, but you're telling me this is going to be $40. And I know it's not going to be $40. So then you click on the $40 thing and then it's like, all right, here's your ticket. It's $240. And, you know, it's like, well, okay, you have taxes, fees, whatever. And I'm like, it's a little annoying because I'm like, just fucking tell me how much it costs. But it's also annoying because Frontier in particular is like, you have to pay if you want to check a bag, which is fine. You have to pay if you want to carry on a bag, which is fine. You also have to pay for a personal item. So I was like, so I can't even get on the plane with like a small backpack without, you know, whatever. So TikTok's favorite travel trick, simply throw those extra clothes into a pillowcase or neck pillow cover, and you've got yourself a stealth carry-on that gate agents are likely to overlook. Goodbye excess baggage fees. Here's the problem. It can get you in trouble if you get caught. It's not hard to find tales of attempts recounted on message boards, but the success rate of the pillow hack is reportedly low, owing in large part to gate agents not being stupid. If you get caught trying to pass off a thin cotton sack full of your belongings as a pillow and dig in your heels, you could get booted from the flight. That's what happened recently to a passenger, the pillow trick, while boarding a plane at Orlando International Airport in Florida. The altercation was documented, of course, in a video sagely captioned, "Stop listening to the internet." Good advice. I like that. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, this is like one of the ones, right, where I have mixed feelings because I'm like, look, can you just let people bring on something on the plane? Do you know what I mean? Do you have to charge them to bring on like a large purse? We all have reusable grocery bags. And it's like, if you could bring on a reusable grocery bag of stuff, I feel like that's better for everybody. Do you know what I mean? Questionable travel hack four. Velcro your toddler to the airplane seat to prevent squirming. One mommy TikToker has widely viewed solution. Attach strips of Velcro tape to the seat and to the backside of your Wiggle Worms onesie, and then stick the little one in place. There you go. Yeah, so she's putting a baby in an airplane seat. Now, the baby only has, like, two Velcro strips, basically, on its butt and upper thighs. I wouldn't think it would work, but I'm not opposed to this one. It's like, well, the toddler's going to get frustrated and then start crying. And I'm like, all right, but I mean, if it starts crying, you could just take it off, right? Take it off the Velcro. Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of like, hey man, if it works, here's my advice for this one. Try it at home and see what happens. If your kid is like a baby and you just Velcro it to a chair at home, see how it reacts, if it like takes it well or not. Oh, and the last one is buckle your up over your ankles. Okay. Now is the portion where I'm going to share my travel hack. Okay. And this is less of like a top 10 list or something, more of like a guided meditation. Do you know what I'm saying? It's more of like a way of thinking about airline travel, hacking your brain instead of hacking the airline. So here's the deal. When you're getting on the plane, when you're at the airport, imagine, if you will, close your eyes if you must. Just go to a happy place where you can sort of listen and absorb this advice. When you get to the airline, imagine that you're about to be on a super inconvenient situation that you've surrendered the next several hours of your life to. And you're going to have to, like, park a car, take a bus, go wait in endless lines, constant lines. Everybody else in the lines is angry or agitated or concerned about something. Everybody who is working at the businesses the lines are lined up to is dealing with people like that all day and, you know, probably hates their lives. Everyone you encounter during this period is probably not going to be very nice because they have their own shit going on. Pretend like you're about to board a long tube full of these people. And when you do, just think about it this way. If everybody acted the way I'm acting right now, what would happen? What would it be like? And think about it this way as well. Would I be real thrilled if someone was doing what I'm doing right now? Now, if I was sitting next to somebody who had gone through security, okay, I'm behind someone in the security line who's got like a frozen bottle of water, and we get up to the front of the security thing, and then they have an argument with the gate agent because they're like, no, you can't take this. And they're like, yes, I can, TSA. And they're like, no, you can't. I'm telling you, you can't. It's not about you being able to take in your fucking bottle of water. It's about everybody else behind you having to wait while you have this pointless argument with somebody. Just throw it in the garbage and get through the fucking line. You know what I mean? Get to the airport and, like, pay attention. Pretend there are other people. It's, what was that, Fran Lebowitz? Her whole thing, Pretend It's a City. If you haven't seen it, it's great. And she's a writer living in New York City. And someone asks her, like, what is your advice for people who move to New York City? And she's like, pretend it's a city. Pretend there are other people around you with things to do, with their own lives, trying to go about their business. And pretend like you don't want to be in their way. Pretend like you just want to, you know, let them go about their business without having to push past you, without having to ask you to step out of the way. That's kind of how I feel like people need to be in the airport. It's like, just, you know, for the next hour, try and just pay attention. You know what I mean? When it's your turn in line, be ready. When you get to the front of the line, look at what you're about to do. Are you about to have to show someone your identification? Maybe get it out of your pocket before you reach that person. Do you know what I mean? You've just been standing in a line for 20 minutes. You've had much time. Are you wearing shoes that are kind of difficult to take off? Maybe untie the laces before you get to the front. You know what I'm saying? Do what you can to just imagine you're like, if everybody did a little bit to make this a little smoother and easier, it would add up to making this whole process so much smoother and easier, so much better. I know that some people look at this as like getting back at the airlines. You know what I mean? It's like they put us through this and we hate it. But you're not getting back at the airline. You're getting back at the airlines by punishing other people. Do you know what I'm saying? And then when you get on the plane, just try and be like a little polite. if you're normally polite, try and be a little more polite. You know what I mean? I don't care what your normal level of politeness is. Just try and be a little bit more polite. It's like, you know, what's polite? Hey, if we're on a 12-hour flight and I got to get up a couple times because you got to use the bathroom, that's fine. That's normal. That's expected. Am I going to be a little annoyed? Yeah, of course. Because, you know, I'm easily fucking annoyed. Done hundreds of episodes of this show based on my annoyance alone. But, like, it's fine. But, like, if you're a pregnant lady who has to pee every 45 minutes, maybe don't sit in the window. Maybe don't make other people get up for you every 45 minutes. Do you know what I'm saying? Maybe if you and your spouse are on a flight together and you're a tiny person and your spouse is a big person, maybe you sit in the middle, even if it would be preferential for you to sit on the side. Do you know what I'm saying? They're just like, just think about these little things that you could do to make some anonymous stranger's day a little nicer. Because basically we're all in a hellhole. But, you know, if we can scratch a little stick art drawing into the side of our prison cell here, it just brightens the day a tiny little bit. And that's really the best we can hope for in airline travel, right? Just to not have a horrible time. It doesn't have to, it does. It has to be horrible. It's just going to be. It just is. This is the world we live in. But we don't have to make it horrible. We don't have to participate in the horribility. You know what I mean? We could do a little something. And that's just what I would encourage you to do. Just don't think about the airline travel as something to hack. Don't think about it as something that, like, oh, if I do this, it's like a game changer. Sneaking in or, you know, saving $10 on bottled water is not a game changer. Okay? It's not. Putting a bunch of shit on the seat in front of you so that you're constantly jostling the person in front of you the entire flight is not a game changer. You know what I mean? Like, just be nice. That's like Pete's travel hack. It's like a yin and yang travel hack. Because on the one hand, it's like, shut the fuck up, pay fucking attention, do the things you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do them. Don't act like it's a big surprise when you get to the front of the line and then the person asks you to do exactly the things that everyone else has been doing. Pay attention, be prepared. And it's like, that's like the harsh side, right? It's like, line up where you're supposed to line up. Don't fuck around. Just get in line where you're supposed to be at your correct time. Get on the plane. Don't fuck around. Sit down. And then you're on the plane. And that's like the harsh side. And the nice side is like, just be nice. If you have a choice to make on the plane, you know what I mean? I could do something this way or that way. Think about like, which is the nicer option for everybody else? Because there is going to be an option that's more pleasant for everybody else. Do that one. Yeah, I mean, if you can, I'd say do that one. That's my travel hack for you. Because if everybody did that, we wouldn't need this other shit. We could just kind of get on a plane and not be in absolute hell for 12 hours. You know what I mean? We'd be in absolute hell for 7.5. And just mild purgatory for the rest. All right. We'll see you next time.